So good morning, and welcome to my man cave. So this morning we're going to continue to look at one of the core values that we hold here at All Saints, and that's loving each other. Values shouldn't necessarily be viewed as something to strive for, but rather these are the things that make up who we are. These are the things that define our character as a community and as Christians. We believe loving each other is one of the very attributes of God that has been placed among us and through us through the Holy Spirit. Now, loving each other will be expressed in several ways. Like last week, we looked at how forgiving one another is an expression of not only God's love for us, but how we love one another. And today, we're going to be thinking through humility, the act of counting others as more significant than ourselves. Sacrificially putting the needs of others above our own. So for me, there's no better description of what humility looks like than how Paul describes Jesus in his letter to the Philippians when he says, "Who though he, Jesus, was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross." But I really like how the Message Bible puts it. It said he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human, and having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he came to this earth to die the death that we had coming to us, so that we might live the eternal life that only he deserves, then it's plain to see that God, the God we worship, is one who expresses humility towards us. It's all right. God is God. He can choose to be as arrogant or as humble as he wants, and he chooses to serve rather than to be served. Now, thankfully, our Creator chooses to take the path of humility. And just think about it. Thankfully, God didn't choose the arrogant route, the route that says, if you can't live up to my standards, then who needs you? Instead, through Jesus, he chose to live among us, as one of us, experiencing the results of the sins of this world just like any of us. He experienced temptation, what it's like to be in poverty, what it's like to be weak and scared. He experienced the full human condition. And he didn't go through all of this for his own benefit, but he did it for ours. And Psalm 113 says, "Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap." Jesus' actions weren't out of character or unlike anything God had ever done before. As Psalm 113 points out, this is who God is. God, by his very nature, exemplified through Jesus, is a God that serves rather than demands to be served. And as the body of Christ, the church, we are being called, challenged, and equipped by the Holy Spirit to live the same, to have the same mindset among ourselves as Christ. And humility isn't just being charitable to those in need or trying to lift up others. Humility is the opposite of boastful pride. It's the absence of pride. And sometimes our charitable acts do more for stroking our egos than benefit anyone else. In Matthew 6:3, Jesus warns, "When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Because there's a part of us, that sinful nature that we have, that wants recognition for our giving. We want something in return. And we can take pride in how humble we appear. Our egos can be stroked when those we serve look up to us, as if we are better than them, as if we are the solution to their problems. And the truly sad thing about prideful charity is that those who habitually depend upon charity believe that they are nothing more than a charity case. And prideful charity does nothing but confirm this lie that they believe about themselves. Jesus takes things even further. In Luke 6:35, Jesus says, "But love your enemies and do good, lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." But I'd just like to close by putting just maybe a spin on this perspective of what it looks like to put the other's needs above our own. You know that feeling that oftentimes stirs up when someone really wants to serve you and bless you? Oftentimes our immediate response is to say, "No, I can't accept this." Kind of like how Peter first responded when Jesus was washing his feet. Before moving to England, we had to raise financial support to be able to move here as missionaries. And I remember one lady in particular that gave me a check for a substantial amount of money. And I know this woman. She doesn't have a lot to give. And so when she hands me this check, I just say to her, "No, no, no, I can't accept this. It's too much." I'll never forget, she looked me right in the eyes and said, "You're going to take it. You need it. And you're not going to rob me of God's blessing." And so I reluctantly accepted the money. But there is something so empowering in faithfully and sacrificially giving to others. It lifts us up, doesn't it? And on the other end, there's also something so humiliating in being on the receiving end of charity. And I think that's why Jesus chose to carry out his ministry the way he did. In the opening lines of Luke chapter 8, Luke describes how Jesus was going through cities and villages proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And then he lists this group of women who were providing for him and his disciples out of their own means, meaning Jesus' ministry was dependent upon the charitable acts of others. Where Jesus slept at night and what he ate was dependent upon others. And when Jesus sends out his disciples two by two in Luke chapter 10, he says, "Take no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, take nothing with you. And search for those who are willing to take you in. And when you find those people who take you in, stay. Don't go from house to house, but stay. And eat whatever they put before you. They may not be like you, they may not eat what you like, they may not believe what you believe, but stay with them." Jesus was putting his disciples in a position that he was in, where in order to follow him and to do as he commands, they're going to learn what it means to be humble. And I just wonder if the Holy Spirit is challenging us to go further in our humility. We like to be the one that is blessing others and serving others. And I think we as a church do this quite well. But like those women who cared for Jesus and his disciples out of their own means, that had to elevate them. And like that woman who gave to me, she felt like she was the one being blessed through her giving. Sometimes the best way that we can put others above ourselves is by allowing them to serve us, to be empowered, to be elevated, and in some cases to no longer be the charity case, but the giver. So the next time someone offers to bless you, don't respond out of that initial gut reaction that you might feel, but rather just check yourself. Make sure that gut reaction isn't your pride that may be hindering someone from being lifted up. When God first called Abraham, one of the first promises God made was when he said, "I will bless those who bless you." So, Lord, forgive us when our pride gets in the way of allowing others to be the blessing and to be blessed. May please give us the faith and the strength to be humble. Amen.